It's truly an incredible schus to be back here. First, I have to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom. I am pretty sure this early in the year, the fourth time I've had the schus to share words of Chizik, words of Osiris, words of Torah with the yeshiva. Pretty good by this point in the year. Some of them only shana bet, first or second day. Then Erev Yom Kippur right here. And then Lol Yom Kippur at the Kaisel. To be back together on a personal level is so special. But it should make us all think how quickly time flies by. Maybe on that note, before we begin, I just want to mention, I know the Chevra should know, tonight all the learning in the yeshiva all night long, but especially for me on a personal level this year, is Lil Nishmas, a very special person, Matisyo Yaakov Ben Shmaryo, Zeichas Adikai Shvracha, the father of my Talmud, Yosef Ephraim, Joe Botnick. But Jason was a friend of mine. Jason was someone that was in your seats, learning, growing. Someone loved by everybody. Someone looked up to by everybody. Kadosh Baruch Hu decided he needed a Shemayim at an earlier age than all of us would have wanted. Tonight, all the Torah of the Chizik should be a big schus for his neshama. It already was earlier when his son made a siyum right here in his yeshiva just a few hours ago. But that also tells us time moves very quickly. Time moves very quickly, and our avodah is to make the most of every day, of every moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us with. Doesn't it feel like yesterday that we were together at the Kaisel? I know for me it does. I just went to daven by the Kaisel. It felt literally like yesterday that we were all together. Leil Yom Kippur. And how quickly that time has passed. And it's a responsibility and a chrayas to look into ourselves from that night until now. It's been 6, 7 weeks, whatever it's been. What have we done with that time? What have we done with these moments, with these days? The chashivas of every moment. This past Sunday night, at the schus to be by the Kinnah Shluchim. Every year, all the shluchim, the Chabad shluchim from throughout the world, over 5,000 malachim, over 5,000 angels that sacrifice their lives and go live in the most obscure of places, countries I've never heard of. They have a roll call. Rav Kotlarsky is in charge of all the shluchim. He mentions every single country where there are shluchim. I never heard of some of those countries. And maybe that's a problem in my schooling and how much I was paying attention to geography or whatever it might be. I never heard of some of these countries that Chabad Shluchim are living in. And even some of them that I heard of, it's out of the Chabad Shluch of Ghana. Ghana. Imagine raising your family in Ghana so you could be there for the Yidden there. So you could be there for every Jew that visits and that lives and to inspire. We'll get back to that. But that was all from the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zeichas Adikai Shavracha, who had this idea of Shluchim. He actually came to it through John F. Kennedy, actually, the president. John F. Kennedy came up with the Peace Corps. I think it was 1961, he decided to send Americans throughout the world to help build the world, to help be there for others. He said, if the Americans, if John F. Kennedy could do that, how could we not do that for Yidden? And he started sending Jews throughout the world to be there for Jews. Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Lishracha, he once walked into a shul and he asked, what time is Maariv? And the man he asked said, I'm not sure, either 10:10 or 10:15. He says, which one is it? 10:10 or 10:15? The man said, why does that matter? It's 5 minutes. And Lubavitcher Rebbe said, do you know what I can do with 5 minutes? Do you know how precious 5 minutes is? What one can accomplish in 5 minutes? Every moment of time. And it goes by so quickly. Think about it, guys. Some of you, I was with you here the first or second night you got here, Shonabed. I don't know if you even remember. And look where we are. And those that Shon Al Yom Kippur, doesn't it feel terrifying? You know, when we went into the Midbar, when we went into the desert, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us this incredible matana. Whenever I think about that matana, I think about each and every one of you sitting here. It's called the Mun. You all learned about the Mun. And the Mun fell from heaven, and it was sustenance, and we all know famously, you learned about this when you were very small, it tasted like anything you wanted it to taste like. And in Parshas Bishalach, it calls the Mun in Yisayon, L'man en Senu. It says it should be a test. A test? A test is a word that usually sounds like something we don't like. None of us back in when we were in school, in high school, looked forward to tests. A test is a challenge, a trial, a tribulation. Then the Mun? The Mun's the biggest brach in the world. What was the Mun? The Mun was, I don't have to work, I don't have to earn a living, I don't have to go to college. I wake up every morning, go to sleep, wake up in the morning, everything I need is right there on my doorstep. That was the Dor HaMidbar. So what's the test? The Rambam is very famous, the Ramban is very famous in referring to the test of Amunah. It's not easy to go to sleep at night with nothing in your fridge. You have to have Amunah that the Mun's going to be there in the morning. Amunah that Hashem's providing. And the emphasis, we're nothing without Amunah. We're nothing without Amunah. We're two Talmidim of this yeshiva, different ages, brothers. That just last week lost their father. To tell me that I'm very close to, they're like sons to me. Lost their father at very young ages. How do you get through that? How do you move on? How do you continue to daven and to learn and to persevere? A Yid has a Muna, we can get through anything. A Yid has a Muna, he knows Hashem is by our side. I might not understand it. And I might cry through it, but Hashem's orchestrating the world. I could get through anything with Amunah. And therefore, the Dor HaMidbar, before they received the Torah, they needed this Mun. They needed to build Amunah. They needed to build a belief in Hashem. And not just Hashem created the world, but Hashem is by our side, taking care of us every single moment. And yes, I could go to sleep at night, and I'm okay without anything in my refrigerator. Because I know Hashem's going to take care of me. Maybe there's nothing more in this world you could build this year. But you have the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael, and you have the schus to be steps from Kodesh Kedoshim. You have the schus to be learning Torah with no responsibilities. Make sure you're not forgetting to build Amunah. You know, we learned so much Torah. How much to talk about the Nosei in that Torah? Every time you learn Torah, you're really getting closer to the Rebbein Shalom. And if you're not understanding that, start actually learning. Because if you're not understanding that, you're just having some intellectual pursuit. You're not actually learning Torah. The Baal HaTanya, talking about Chabad, the Baal Tanya of Shneur Zalman Liadi, in Perek Dalet, says the most beautiful thing in the world. He says, every time we learn Torah, you know what you're doing? You know what you're doing when you're learning Torah? You're not learning Shor Shanach Chazavar. You're not learning Ichves Nish, whatever sugya you're in. You know what you're doing? You're giving the Rabbanu Shlom a hug. Because you're getting to know him better. The Torah is his personality. The Torah is his character traits. We can't physically get to know Hashem, but in his Torah we can understand how he is, who he is, and I can get closer to him. And I can then build more emunah. And have that for me by my side, no matter what Hashem brings my way. But that's not what I want to talk about. There's another nishayon that's discussed by the Svarno and others of the Mon. The Svarno says, you know what the Mon was? It was Hashem giving us everything we could ever want, everything we could ever need. We had everything. So now we don't have to work. We don't have to earn a living. You know what happens now? You're free all day, no responsibility. What are you going to do with your time? What are you going to do with your time? Are you going to use it to serve me? Are you going to use it to learn Torah? Are you going to use it to daven? Are you going to use it to do chesed? Now that you don't have the responsibility to work, that's a big nisayon. You know, when you have a lot of tirdas, you have a lot of responsibility. One day, Bez Hashem, you should be zocha, the most beautiful tirdas, the most beautiful achrayas. You're going to have a wife that I hope is the love of your life, your best friend, that you're going to want to spend a lot of time with, and you should spend a lot of time with. And have a beautiful relationship. And Bez Hashem, B'shachtayiv, in the right time, you can have children that you're going to give to and love. And yes, you'll learn with and support, but play games with and play ball with and be there for them as a best friend and as a father. And you're going to have to earn a living to support your family. And then you know what? You might only have an hour or two a day to learn. So when you're busy all day long, it's easier to grab onto that for those who care about it. Suddenly I have all day free. I have 8 hours. I feel good if I learn 3 of them. But Lamaisa, that's the nisayon of the Mon. What are you going to do with the time? It's a big nisayon when you have all day. It's a big nisayon when everything is given to you. I think from the time of Dor HaMidbar until your generation, and including myself, our generation, there hasn't been this nisayon. There hasn't been the Dor Shoach Leman. Stop and think about it, guys. You have the most incredible parents in the world. They're set. You know, you have no idea how much money it costs them to send you here for yeshiva for a year. Some of them, Baruch Hashem blessed with the means. But not all. It's a tremendous sacrifice. It's a tremendous sacrifice. Monetarily, it's a tremendous sacrifice. Emotionally, it's a tremendous sacrifice. Your mothers love you. They want to give you a kiss and give you a hug before you go to sleep. It's a sacrifice. And I had this chus last year to marry off my first son. It was a year ago now. I was here. I spoke Thursday night a year ago here. And it was that was right before Hanukkah. It was Sunday night of Hanukkah when he got engaged. Something very, very beautiful right here. Hanukkah, hopefully somehow come on Hanukkah. You guys have the Shana Bet, understand? Shana Aleph, you don't even know what you have ready for your first night of Hanukkah. I'm still flying from Hanukkah here. You don't understand what could fit in the hallway over there and what Ruchnias could happen. You've had Ruchnias in the Beis Medrash, maybe Ruchnias on the Marpeset. We had Ruchnias in Parat Yosef, Ruchnias at the Kaisel. You don't know what it is to have ruchnis in the hallway. Like flying, like on fire, mamish. I'm even yavin, you'll get there. I'm still flying from it. But I'll tell you, when my son got married, the last few days before he got married, every single night, all that my wife and myself did, we would lay in bed when we were going to sleep, and we would just bawl. Mama's crying. 3 o'clock in the morning, we both wake up crying to each other. And not because we weren't so excited for my son to get married and so thankful to Hashem, and we love our daughter-in-law like a daughter. She's incredible, and they're an incredible young couple, and looking forward to spending Shabbos with them. They're amazing. And we were excited. But to not have my son in my house to give a hug and kiss before he went to sleep, to not like be able to, literally we used to like, I'd be sitting and learning and like it'd be 1 o'clock in the morning, he's ready to go to sleep and he slept in the attic, he had a floor and he had like a good setup over there and he had a nice screen with an Xbox, you know, so to go play Xbox with him 1 o'clock in the morning, it was awesome. It was something so special as a father. No, all the time. I'm not just saying this. You could ask him, like, two nights before he got married, we were supposed to play Xbox, and he was exhausted and wanted to go to sleep at, like, at one-ish, and I started crying. I'm like, no, we got to play Xbox. And he's like, you want to learn? No. I'm like, no, forget about the learning. I want to play NBA 2K. And I was crying, and he stayed up with me to play Xbox. That's a true. You can ask him. So to send you to yeshiva is a sacrifice. You know what happens when you come here? Realize your parents sacrifice like crazy, and you come, and you're the Dor HaShoach Le'eman. You know why? Everything's provided for you. Everything you could imagine is provided for you. Everything. Think about it for a moment. You have food, you have a room, you have everything. You came with all your clothing. No one's buying you. You're crazy. Why would you buy clothing in Israel? Let's be real. There's nothing. Anything you buy, trust me, you see it. If you think you're going to buy Chvesnish or Armani, but it's all fake, so no, it's not worth buying. Glasses. I got these glasses here, actually, last time, August. Carolina Lemke over there. It's good glasses for a nice price, and it's good. Lamaisa, clothing. I don't think I've ever bought clothing in here. I don't think in all my life I bought clothing in Eretz Yisrael, except for my Shtreimel, but that's another talk for another time. Lamaisa, you have everything. So now you have all day long with no responsibility. You have no secular studies. You don't have a job. You don't have a wife and kids yet, which b'shatayva you will be zoicha to in the right time. It's a good amen for that, yeah. That was for the wife, right? Anyways. What are you doing with your time? And I know you show up. And I know you come and you're by shir. And you're by afternoon seder, and you're by night seder, and everybody here is doing way more than they did a year ago at this time. And maybe way more than you did 2 months ago. But are you truly making the most of your time? Are you truly making the most of every day? That was the Nisoyon of the month, and you're living that more than anyone else in all of history. When else in history? It was never like this, where you were provided for everything. Now sit and learn and grow and do chesed and just be the best person you can be all day long. But that's a responsibility with that gift. And are you grabbing onto it? Are you making the most of it? There's so much more. You should be proud of who you've become. But there's so much more you could be. And don't ever judge yourself of how many dapim you've learned, how much halacha you know. All those things are nice. That's not how we judge ourselves. You know when you go to sleep at night, how you judge yourself? Did I make the most of today? Did I use every moment of today? If I did, amazing. If I didn't, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Every moment. And it doesn't mean we don't need a break. You need some time to play ball. You need some time to relax. But how much of that time? You really need to still watch Netflix? Do you think that's how Hashem wants you using your time during this year? Do you think that's how? Are you still need to watch TikTok? You still need to watch? It's Thanksgiving today. There were football games all day. You still okay? You're a sports fan. You want to check the highlights for a few minutes? I think that's cool. That's fine. You still need to spend so much time watching that? Let me tell you, those Talmidim I spoke about, Zaki and Jonathan Brown, were incredible Bali Amuna who lost their father last week. Zaki showed the night, Sunday, their father passed away, last Sunday, a week ago Sunday. It was very hard for me. I was pulled. I was in the mid, very, very close with them. It was something I was dealing with for a couple months and every single day. And I happened to be in the middle of a very close Talmud's chasana. Talmud is like a son to me as well. Talmud of the yeshiva of Shdiv Netivari as well. middle of his chasana, and I told him what he thought. I'm staying till the end of the chasana. I wanted to stay till the end of the chasana. Happened to be Masada Kedushin of the at the chasana. Right after the first dance, I sit down at my table and I look at my phone for the first time, and I see that Michael Brown was nifter. I'm so pulled. On one hand, I so badly want to be there for the Browns, and my heart is breaking. On the other hand, I'm at a simcha and I'm at a chasana, and I never in my life felt more of the words of the Baal HaTanya, who says that each and every one of us has al levavchem, levavchem in plural, that we have two hearts, and you have a heart that always has to be v'simcha and content, and know Hashem is by our side, and therefore whatever comes your way, we can get through anything. But simultaneously, a heart that understands there's tzaras in Klal Yisrael, and we have to feel the pain and suffering of that. And a yid somehow with a munah could live with both simultaneously. It's something incredible. It's hard to understand if you're not a yid. And at that moment, I felt that more than any time in my life. And on one hand, I'm pulled, I want to jump in my car to be there for my talmidim, we just lost the father. On the other hand, I'm by this chasana, I'm supposed to be tansing. And I said to myself, this is where I am, this is where I'm supposed to be right now. And I said, if I left, the chasana would know, and he's friends with one of the boys, he would know something happened, and it would damper perhaps, I stay till the end. So I got chasana for 7.5 hours, till 11:45 at night, I jumped in my car, went straight from there to the house of my talmidim, who just lost their father. And they were still up, there was no one else left at the house, and I sat with them and cried with them. And Zaki took me downstairs and to his father's office. He took me downstairs to his father's office. He showed me a notebook of his father. His father, unfortunately, had a brain tumor and had surgery, and afterwards, the doctors were teaching him how to write again and seeing what he could, and he was writing, and he had this notebook, and then he wrote a letter. And he wrote this letter, it was a letter actually to a Rebbe, whatever it was, and he was discussing what he felt, and every other line was, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for being there for me. Thank you, Hashem, for making me better. Thank you, Hashem. And he was suffering. He was writing how much suffering he was doing, and simultaneously thanking Hashem. It was unbelievable. You never saw anything like this in your life. A few weeks before he passed away, he was in some level of coma for a while, and he woke up and he asked his son, he didn't know where he was, what is he doing there, and they didn't want to tell him exactly that everything came back, and then, but eventually they told him, and he says, when did my tumor come back? The tumor was back for a while already, but he forgot because of everything going on, and it was like, let's say it was 2 months ago, I don't remember exactly, and Zaki says, his father, why is it so important to you? Why do you want to know? Because I want to thank Hashem for every day since then that he's taken care of me and that I'm still here. He wanted to know so he could thank Hashem. But he writes in that letter how much he wished he would have understood earlier, how petty so much of his life was in the sense of all the time he gave to sports and all the focus he had on materialism. And he wished he would have understood earlier what's truly important in life. This guy was a tzaddik, doing incredible chesed for so many people, trust me. You're here, you're now, and you have all the time and day. How are we using our time, the biggest gift in the world? Chafetz Chaim used to say, you know, in the world they say time is money. It's a famous phrase. He didn't say time is not money. Time is life. Our whole life, that's what makes up life, time. Shouldn't have to take that you only know you have a few days to live to make the most of it. You have the big, you only have this, what you have now, this time in your life. These years, whatever these years, 1 year, 2 years, halavai, shbishana gimel, push for it, I'll help you, we'll talk. Because it's the only time in your life you have to sit and learn full time and live Dor HaMon with no other responsibilities. You go and you move on to college, which is important, you have to learn a parnasa, and then you start dating, you start, never again. You have beautiful responsibilities, but never again will you have what you have now. And you'd waste any time of it? And you'd waste any moment of it? And you'd waste the time your parents are gifting you who've sacrificed for this? And you open up this week's parashat, Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav, until they're... Chazal talks about this. Until they're 13, you didn't know the difference between them. They were twins. And they acted the same. It wasn't until later in life, those teenage years, that Esav went his way, Yaakov went his way. Esav was Ishada, Yaakov Ish, Tom Yosef Ahalim. What was the difference between the two? And then we see something else. You know what happens? We all know famously, Yaakov steals, quote unquote, the brachas from Esav. And Esav wants to kill him, so Yaakov has to run away. He runs away, and he runs away to get a wife as well, to get married, to build a family. He's fine. You know when he's ready to meet up with Esav again? It's after Yosef HaTzadik is born. You look in Rashi there, Rashi explains, based on a pasuk in Navi, that Yosef is going to be the fire that's going to burn up Esav. Esav wants to kill him. Suddenly, Yosef's born. Oh, wow, now my little baby's going to help me. Like, what shot? What's going on? And what's the defining factor between Yaakov and Esav that made Yaakov a Yaakov and Esav an Esav? If you want to know the essence of who each and every one of us is, we can find it in our names. If we truly understood our names, we know who we really are. Our names carry our machos. Our names carry our midos. Our names carry our essence. Our names are given with Ruach HaKodesh. Many times I've gone to tzaddikim, they've inspired me to call my children, my talmidim, by their Hebrew name, by their full Hebrew names, because it brings out the kochos within us. You know what the essence of Esav was? Esav is Milashon Asui. We know, we all know famously, right? When we came home from nursery school years ago, we came home with a picture of Esav, hairy, looking like an adult. He came out a finished product. But that wasn't just physically. That was his whole mindset. He was stagnant. I'm finished. I don't need to grow. Asui, I'm finished. I'm done. That was Esav. I'm finished. I'm done. I'm stagnant. I've done my thing. I'm good. I'm good. I've reached this madrega. You know, I'm finally learning a few mishnayos, and I actually go to minyan, and I put on tefillin, and I wear tzitzis. Wow, awesome. I never dreamed of more than that. I keep Shabbos. I put a filter on my phone. I'm the man. I'm good to go. By the way, that's beautiful if those are things you haven't been doing. And that's awesome. And you should be proud of it. But never say you're good to go. You could always be more. Saying I'm good to go, saying I'm finished, is Esav. You want to be an Esav? In every age, I just met with a Talmud from Eretz Yisrael. A Talmud, very special Talmud of mine, who our whole relationship was built through YU Torah. I met him for the first time when I was in Eretz Yisrael this summer, and I spoke in Beit Shemesh. For years, we had correspondence over WhatsApp, and he listens to the Shirim and YU Torah. That's our whole relationship, and it was a deep relationship, a special relationship, based on Torah. And he came into America, he works in one of the yeshivas, and he came into America for the yeshiva, and he told me about his older brother. Now he's, I don't know how old he is even, he's probably in his mid-30s, this Talmud. His older brother, I know, is older than me. His older brother is in mid-40s. And his older brother, just this past Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, based on some inspiration from some Rabbanim and other things, he started going to Minyan 3 times a day. He wasn't doing that beforehand. At the age of, I don't know, 45, 46, whatever age it is, he started going to Minyan every single day. It's beautiful. Okay, so you're going to Minyan already. So where are we growing? Everyone on different levels. Saying I'm done is Esav. And you have so much time to grow. Am I making the most of that time? What's Yaakov? Yaakov is Milashon Akev. Akev is heel. You know, the heel is the lowest part of our body. He looked at himself as lowly, meaning I have so much more to grow. I have so much more to do. You know what Yaakov was afraid of Esav? He wasn't afraid of Esav physically. He had his children already. He had his family. I could take on Esav. I got God by my side. Remember what Avram did with the kings? I'm good to go. You know what he was afraid of? The mentality of Esav, of being stagnant, creeping into his people and his world. Yosef is born, He has an offspring, Yosef. He has a child, Yosef. What's Yosef? The love, you see in the name, the essence. What's Yosef? Asaf. To grow, to do more and more and more. He says, I have Yosef now. He could defeat Esav. That's what the Shemesh Shmuel says. Hail the Shemesh Shmuel says, Yosef is the koyach to defeat Esav because Yosef is to grow. Chevra, are we growing? Are we doing more? Are we doing more? And that same kinah shluchim that I went to him with, and I'm there in this room with 5,500 Chabad shluchim dancing together, who sacrificed their lives for others, who go, hey, mamish, I'm telling you, crazy. This one Chabad shliach, he grew up in Santa Monica, California. That's like cool. Santa Monica's awesome. Beautiful place to live. And you know where he lives now as a shliach? In Sumy, Ukraine. I never heard of Sumy, Ukraine. It was I don't know. Some place in Ukraine, taking care of all the people in Ukraine during the war and for the past 18 years. He moved there in 2004. In 2009, he applied for citizenship. And he was denied. And he went into the government building to find out why is he denied. They said, well, you're from Santa Monica, California. And you're coming to Ukraine to be a citizen here? There's only two reasons that could be. Either you're a spy, or you're crazy. And we don't want either here. You hear this? Eventually got citizenship. And those Chabad Shluchim, they don't, if you met one, it's not what they've done, it's what more we could do. I want to do more, it's never enough. They spoke about it last year ago at the Shluchim Convention, they raised over $22 million and opened up, I don't know how many new Chabad houses and libraries and yeshivas and Hebrew schools. At that convention, simultaneously, I saw with my own eyes, they finished 36 Sifrei Torah to give out the 36 new Chabad houses that didn't have a Torah yet. I danced with one of those Torahs, holding one of those Torahs. One of my Talmidim's families donated one of the Torahs. It's never enough. And they spoke, what could we do more? That's all. What could we do more? They're doing more than any anything we have in all of Klal Yisrael. I don't think there's a greater organization in all of Klal Yisrael. But what could we do more? So what could you do more? Yes, you're in yeshiva. Yes, you've done more than you've ever done before. But you have more time than you've ever done before. What could you do more? Are you making the most of this time? Be honest. Are you making the most of your time? Could you do more? Am I working on myself? I've grown, but could I grow more? I'm coming back here. Halavai. Halavai Mashiach's coming. I'm not leaving. So I'll be back next Thursday night. But if we're not Zocha to Mashiach, I have a flight Monday night. And then hopefully we'll be Zocha Mashiach sometime. But if not, I have a flight back here. We'll be back set Thursday night, January 18th. I don't know, in about 5 weeks. I'm going to ask you that night to think back. How have you grown? How have you made the most of every moment that you're gifted with? How have you passed the Nisayon Haman that Hashem has given you? Because that's the mark of greatness. The mark of greatness is not, it's beautiful to make a Siyum, it's beautiful to finish Shas, it's beautiful to do beautiful acts of chesed. You went today, it's Thursday, I know many of you did beautiful acts of chesed. Some of you guys went, you would go to a place, Tove Ha'ir. Raise your hand if you went to Tove Ha'ir. Oh, my grandmother's there today, she loved it. I don't know if you've met her, but beautiful things you guys are doing. Beautiful things, incredible things. And you should be proud of how you've grown and proud of what you've done. But don't stop growing and don't stop doing more. All right, just end with a story. To understand the greatness of a Ben Torah, then the greatness, what it is to be a Ben Yeshiva. How do you know if you're the best Ben Yeshiva you could be? So I'll tell you a story which says it straight out. From the Heiliger of Chaim Shmulevitz. Chaim Shmulevitz was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, my Rebbe's Rebbe. And the schus of my Rebbe was a God Eldar of Nasa Tzvi Finkel, Zechazad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For another time, we have to talk about him. We could talk about him all night. His Rebbe was Chaim Shalevitz, one of his Rebbeim, who we used to talk about all the time. Chaim Shalevitz once walked into the yeshiva of his uncle, Rav Yaffa, Zecher Tzadik Lechavracha. And he asked his uncle, tell me something. Who's the best bachur in your yeshiva? Who's the best one? So he points to Moshe and he says, Moshe is the biggest Alma of the Torah. Puts in 16 hours a day. Aaron, biggest Baal Chesed you've ever seen. Kindest guy. You don't have to ask him to do anything. He's doing it for you before you even ask him. David, you should see the way he davens. I don't daven like that in the Elul of Yom Kippur. Every Shemoneh Esrei. So Chaim Shalev says, that's beautiful, awesome. So which one's the best? I don't know if Chaim Shalev is looking for a shidduch, but he, you know, which one was the best? He says, the best is Yaakov Yisrael. It's Yaakov Yisrael. Yaakov Yisrael is not the biggest Alma B'Torah. Yaakov Yisrael is not the biggest Baal Chesed. Yaakov Yisrael is not the biggest, has not the biggest Kavanah in his Tefillah. What do you mean is the best? He says he has the most She'ifas. He's yearning for greatness. He's improving every day. He's growing. He's making the most of every moment. He's the best. Yaakov Yisrael became the stipel of going. Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik HaShvracha, Akilas Yaakov, the Gadol Adar, Rav Chaim Kanievsky's father. So if that's the best yeshiva in that yeshiva, you want to know who's the best yeshiva in yeshiva, the best bachur in yeshiva in Tivarye? That's the best bachur there. You want to know the best bachur in yeshiva in Tivarye? The best bachur in yeshiva in Tivarye is the one who wants to be the most, who wants to continue to grow, who wants to make the most of every moment. You're living in the Nisayon Aman. Make the most of it. Don't stop growing. When I see you here in 6 weeks, in 5 weeks, whenever that is, I shouldn't recognize you. You should look different. You shouldn't look as me. I'm this whole night I'm talking to myself. It doesn't matter, I'm 43. I'm nothing and I'm Yaakov, I'm Akev. In the same way. You shouldn't recognize me, I shouldn't recognize you. Let's not stop growing. Let's make the most of every moment. And you're going to see something. When you make the most of every moment, you don't stop growing. Eventually, you look in the mirror, and you'll see the most beautiful sight you've ever seen. Because you'll see the best you. And that's what you want more than anything. To be the best you. Chaver should all have a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh. All the beautiful rest of the night. Everyone's invited to Malva Malkum, Matzei Shabbos as well. If you don't know the details, you ask any of the DRS guys. We're making a very special Malva Malka. And we'll continue to learn together Bekarov, Bez Hashem.